This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. We start today with the Boston Housing Authority, which has a new leader. Boston City Councilor Kenzie Bach, who represents District 8, will take the helm next month. Bach is currently serving her second term on the Boston City Council. Her departure will trigger a special election to fill her seat. At 33, Bach will be among the youngest people to have led the authority. Boston Councilor Kenzie Bach joins us now here in Studio 2. Councilor Bach, welcome.
Thank you so much. Delighted to be here.
Great to have you here. So, okay, I don't know that I have ever met someone who, when they were like 7 or 8, said, you know what I want to do when I grow up? I want to, you know, run a housing authority. And yet you seem to have been passionate about housing for a long time. Where did this come from for you?
Really from my grandparents and from the neighborhood I grew up in. I grew up in Bay Village, one of the smallest neighborhoods in the city, but it's surrounded by Masspike Towers and Castle Square tenants where the tenants own the housing and just a real mix of housing. And so I grew up identifying the city as a place where everybody gets to live and knowing that my grandparents had actually been really involved in making a bunch of that affordable housing happen. And so I took that for granted as part of what the city is. And so the more that I saw that changing as I grew older and people getting pushed out, the more it felt like a really important thing to focus my energies on.
So I guess I want you to tell me just a little bit more about your grandparents and what they did.
Yeah, so my grandfather was involved in launching a number of the big housing organizations in the state. So Mass Housing that finances affordable housing, CHAPA, which advocates for affordable housing. And actually, you know, just obviously this month we've lost the great Mel King. My grandpa was involved in doing the legal work to support Tent City when that was first created.
So you really did kind of grow up sitting on the knee of public housing advocates, affordable housing advocates. It really is in your history from the beginning.
Absolutely. And it's essential to the history of the city of Boston that people, residents have fought in every generation to make sure that they get to stay and flourish in the city.
So what does it mean to you personally to have this responsibility come to you now?
It's enormous. It's a huge honor and very humbling. And I can't think of anything that I'd rather be working on than making sure that we really have a Boston for all. And I think the Boston Housing Authority is really the most important public institution in the city when it comes to housing and keeping our low-income families here in Boston.
So let's kind of assess, right? And this is always a challenge. When we speak to someone who is taking over an institution, the danger of asking them about the institution is that they are going to say, it is wonderful, right? But we know about the challenges in affordable housing in the city. We know about the challenges in public housing. We know the size of the wait list is well over 35,000 people. So we already know not everything is perfect. So give us a tally of kind of the strengths that you see coming in and the weaknesses or challenges that you are clear-eyed about coming in when you are sworn in, if that's the right phrase to use, next month as the new head of the Boston Housing Authority, Kenzie Bach.
So the strengths we have in Boston, one is that we have public housing in almost every neighborhood. We built it early in the program's history before people stigmatized public housing. So it's in every neighborhood. It's transit accessible. It's a key part of all of our city communities. That's amazing. Another real strength of the BHA is that in recent decades, there's been really strong resident leadership and really strong resident and management collaboration. And that's been essential because of one of the greatest challenges, which is the chronic underfunding at the federal and state level of public housing. Not just not providing enough money to build new and better, but even to maintain what we have. That's been a real struggle over the decades. And so it's really been when residents and BHA leadership have come together and advocated that we've managed to make a difference on that. We've had some extraordinary wins on that front. So, for example, we just cut a ribbon at Whittier Street last week. Whittier, we got the redevelopment money from a federal choice grant. That was something where tenants were at the front lines advocating. But I think that as we look at where the BHA needs to go next, we have to get that federal, state, and local support. And I'm really encouraged. One of the reasons I'm so excited to take the job is that I really feel like in Mayor Wu and Governor Healey and President Biden, we actually have a trifecta of leaders who believe in public housing and in you know, voucher holders and the ability to keep people in the city. So, but that's going to be our work cut out for us, is making sure that we have the resources to deploy to really make sure that we've got safe, decent, affordable housing for all our families.
So you just said a bunch of things like bing, bing, bing that I want to hit. And I think I was going to do the federal part later, but I'm going to do it now because you said it three or four times in that last answer. This emphasis on underfunding by the federal government in the past, the importance of federal funds, what can happen when we have federal funds. One of the things that has really stood out to me, the very first time we had Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey, the new governor, here on the show, and we talked to her monthly, she talked about, we don't just want to compete at the federal level, we want to win. And of course, now she's appointed, she's hired Quentin Palfrey to kind of coordinate. He had worked in the Biden administration. She clearly sees an actual strategy at the state level to win federal money to meet state strategy. We know Boston Mayor Michelle Wu has a comprehensive, sometimes loved, sometimes reviled, housing strategy that she is putting forward around affordable housing. How critical is success in getting federal dollars to your ability to meet even the most basic needs? I mean, you know, there's a $137 million capital project need over the next few years. It's only a $300 million a year operating budget. I say only because, again, 37,000 households on the BHA waitlist. You've got to be fossil fuel free by 2030. There are basic maintenance and repair needs on the housing stock as it exists now. So how critical on a scale of like 1 to 5 are federal dollars in meeting the needs? You're chuckling at me, so, like, back off, lady.
No. Federal funds are essential. And the really good thing is that we have an amazing federal team. I mean, I've already heard from our senators and congresspeople who they're already advocating for these dollars to Massachusetts, and they're going to redouble their efforts. And they're amazing partners to have at the federal level. You know, I think that the really exciting thing is that, for instance, when we talk about the decarbonization, which is a key piece of making our units safer and healthier, that's actually something where there's a lot of money in the Inflation Reduction Act, but we do have to go and chase it on a competitive basis. So that's something that Boston and Massachusetts needs to be at the front end of. One thing that I've again and again emphasized to folks is there's one really key source of federal money that's sort of already available to us, which is that for every additional unit that the Boston Housing Authority puts into existence, there's something called a faircloth limit where we're actually entitled to have up to 2,500 more units funded by the feds on an ongoing basis. That has been that's such an opportunity for us because every time we talk about really low-income housing in the city of Boston, it's really that federal backstop and guarantee that makes that level of housing possible. So that's something where I think there's, you know, the will to create new units and then connect them to that federal subsidy.
Okay, so two questions and follow-up. And again, we're speaking with District 8 Boston City Councilor Kenzie Bach, who next month will become the new head of the Boston Housing Authority. So there's 2,500 faircloth units sitting out there, at least theoretically. A, what does it take for them to be actual units that are now in the city of Boston?
So we can use a variety of strategies to create them. I'm really excited. We actually issued this past week an RFP for doing affordable housing, a mixed income approach above the West End Library in part of my district. And we're actually going to start with mixing in 20 faircloth units there. So that's an example. This doesn't have to all be in new 100% public housing buildings. It can be mixed in on the city land. It could be eventually part of some of our mixed private developments in the city. I think we have to look at all strategies. 2,500 is a lot of units. It doesn't sound like a lot compared to the 37,000 person wait list. But if you think about just how much difference it makes for one family to have that stability, and especially that kind of stability that federal public housing and vouchers provides, which we learned about in the pandemic, which is that if you lose your job or you get sick, you have another catastrophe in your life, you don't then lose your housing because the amount that you pay in rent shifts depending on the amount that you're bringing home. And I think we really saw in the pandemic what a disaster it is when these other problems connect then into housing insecurity. And so, you know, if we could add 2,500 of those units to our rolls, that would just make an enormous difference. It'd be a 25% increase.
How long should that take? Wait, it's 2023. I'm talking to you now. You're just getting started. For you to feel good about it and to be realistic in the answer, right? So that push me, pull you back and forth. How long should it take to feel good about having delivered on those 2,500 units, understanding what the limitations are at the federal level?
I think the goal has to be to chase as many resources up front as possible so that we have the money in hand to create those units and then to aggressively produce them, right? So for me, that's the kind of 1-2 punch of this. And so, you know, if we can get enough to start producing 50 in hand, then we'll do it. If we can get enough to produce 1,000, we'll do it, right? It's just going to be a continuing effort to both chase the resources at the federal, state, and city level and then to produce them. And I say city because I think it's worth noting, you know, the mayor unveiled her capital budget last week. There's $204 million in capital funding for the BHA and the city capital budget. The city of Boston in 2019 didn't spend any money on the BHA and its capital budget. That's a totally new thing that's evolved just in the last few years that the city's really stepping up to also meet these critical needs.
All right, I'm going to stay on this for one more second just to make sure we understand it, because we're entitled from the federal government to 2,500 fair cloth units. So why do we have to chase money to get them if we're entitled to them?
Because what we're entitled to is the ongoing support for them, but not the money to produce them.
So what's the support thing if it's not money?
Basically, if I build a new unit and it passes housing quality standards, then the federal government will give me monthly support for that unit.
But not the construction.
But not the construction. So it's the upfront thing that we have to chase.
So I want to shift gears a little bit here in two different places. The first, I'd like to understand, in your sense of sort of how well the BHA is serving the community now, one of the things that we've heard consistently since you were announced is this 9% number, right? That the Boston Housing Authority serves about 9% of the city's population. And that's roughly 17,000 people in public housing vouchers to 45,000 more. And I want to note, in 2019, when you were at the BHA before you became a Boston City Councilor, this move to allow Section 8 vouchers to become what I would call rent sensitive, right, to the neighborhood, average rents in a neighborhood, so that we weren't concentrating Section 8 in the lowest rent neighborhoods, but it could be distributed around the city, was an innovation. Is 9% a good number, because we want a low percentage of the residents of the city of Boston to need to be in public housing? Or is 9% a bad number because it underserves the people who need public housing in the city of Boston? How do you think about that tension as the head of the Boston Housing Authority? Do you understand my question?
I think as the administrator of the Boston Housing Authority, what you're trying to do is add housing opportunities every day. I mean, 9% is a good number in the sense that we're proud to house every one of those families, but if we could house more, we would. And I think actually the BHA has grown its voucher portfolio in recent years by continually pushing the feds for increased authorization and getting more of our families housed. And so we actually have many more families than we did even 5-10 years ago on the voucher program. I think that the 37,000 person wait list tells you that, of course, like, we're not meeting the need. And the reality is that we used to have more people in lower income brackets in Boston who were getting housing through the private market, because there was just more what folks used to call naturally occurring affordable housing that people would rent. And the reality is that that's disappearing in the city. And so that's part of what makes the BHA more and more essential in really, like, anchoring people in every neighborhood. That's also a key piece of why we made that change in what vouchers could pay, so that they could actually float with the sort of rents by zip code, is because the BHA has a duty to its voucher holders to affirmatively further fair housing and make sure that they're actually finding opportunities in every neighborhood of the city and everywhere they want to live, especially in a historically segregated residential landscape like Boston and the surrounding suburbs. Like, if we're not giving people those real choices, then we're failing them.
I'm going to play two pieces of sound now from Bill McGonigal. He's legendary head of the Boston Housing Authority, retired in 2019, sadly died just a few months later. We talked to him just as he was retiring, just after he had retired. First, this is him talking about his work with the BHA in making housing more equitable and diverse.
When we look at and talk about integration, I think we have to look at it from a broader perspective, from the perspective of Greater Boston. There are many surrounding communities in Greater Boston that are predominantly white and are economically and racially and ethnically segregated, where I think we should concentrate some efforts. We should not focus exclusively on Boston, although I think there's some work to be done there. There are other cities and towns in Greater Boston and in Massachusetts that need to step up to the plate as well.
Actually, I think I'll stop there. I think that's enough to ask you my question, which is so often we talk to City of Boston officials here about regional challenges where Boston finds itself trying to solve the problem as a city. You will be the head of the Boston Housing Authority, but affordable housing is a statewide and regional problem. How will you try to coordinate and collaborate with cities around the state on a regional challenge with your sort of center of gravity in Boston?
Yeah, so I think, sorry, if I can just say for a moment, Billy McGonigal was a very dear mentor of mine. When I was last at the BHA, I had the chance to work for him, and he's somebody I think about every day. And I haven't heard his voice lately, so that knocked me back a little bit.
I'm sorry about that.
But he's absolutely right, as ever. And I would say that the BHA is already playing in the regional space. These vouchers that we administer, an enormous number of them are used outside of the precincts of the city of Boston. And the reality is our whole metro region, our fate is tied up together. We know that, right? We know that lots of people might sleep in a suburb in Boston but come into work in the city in the day. And we need everybody to recognize that Boston's housing challenge is the region's housing challenge. And we have had too many exclusive communities for too long surrounding the city. And so, you know, I think actually when we made this change in voucher pricing, one of the things we did was we coordinated with a couple of other housing authorities in the region so that we would all make the change at the same time to be fair to our voucher holders so that people wouldn't have an experience of getting a really different level of subsidy depending on who happened to be administering their voucher. I think there's opportunities for us to align more with DHCD, the state, on that level. And honestly, I'm really looking forward to the state partnership. I think MBTA Communities, the act that passed last year, is a great step in the direction of saying, hey, we need to have transit-oriented development in every community in Massachusetts. And I think that there's a really exciting opportunity to pair that work with a voucher portfolio like the BHA is to actually get our families into any place in the region that they want to live.
All right. Before we let you go, I want to ask you two questions that are at the Boston City Council level, now that we've talked about the Boston Housing Authority. The first, so your departure leaves a vacancy on the council. It's a 12-member board. There are some major votes coming up, including the budget. Do you have any concern about, you know, whenever there's an even number, it can create bigger challenges? Do you feel like the city council in that way is set up for success, going to be okay?
Absolutely. The council's going to go through its traditional budget process. We've obviously had some innovations in recent years, but actually what's been great about the new process is that it allows councilors to propose amendments and so that people are not forced to just take a yes or no vote. They can actually say, hey, I like this, but here's something else that I would like to see. So I think that there's going to be a really good opportunity for people to adjust the budget in ways that enable them to vote positively on it. So I am wistful about leaving the body. It's, you know, I think a really important part of city government, but I think they'll be just fine.
All right. One last question on that is, you know, the council's been through a really contentious redistricting process, and now four councilors, District 2, Ed Flynn, District 3, Frank Banker, and councilors at large, Michael Flaherty, Aaron Murphy, have done some supporting now of a lawsuit against the redistricting. Are you concerned about the ability to work together and do the people's business with this kind of contention in the council?
No, I see councilors working together every day. And I think the reality is that on the lawsuit front, that's in a judge's court at this point, and we'll hear from them soon enough, I'm sure.
All right. Boston City Councilor Kenzie Bach represents District 8 until next month, when she will become the next head of the Boston Housing Authority. Good luck to you, and thanks so much for joining us here on Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me.